love me. I just need a little time. Can you wait for me? Yeah. There's a lot I'm dealing with. Yeah. And I don't want to put it on you. But part of me really wants you. Whoa, whoa. I'm tempted to let it go. Just to keep you close. But if I don't, tell me you will. Can you wait for me? I need a little time. Can you wait for me? Yeah. If I took a while to fill the pieces out, would I cut in this, show you I need you to wait for me?
You let me stop.
Practicing on it or soprano. Crew season podcast, man. We back again. Damn. This is episode 167.
167. Boy, God, oh, I'm getting rusted.
I see you stumbling, boy. You slipping.
I was coming back for episode 69.
Did he find a button?
Get 96.
You ever heard
Can you wait 96? For me? Can you wait for me?
Oh, yeah, man. Hell no. Nah. Kenny T is in the building.
Taking too long.
Don't worry.
Meat.
Hell no. Nah. OT is in the
What's
building.
What's good? What's good? Look at that story you told me the other day, Kenny. Never mind. We don't talk about it.
Oh, shit.
What story?
Limp noodle.
Limp noodle. I ain't never had that problem.
Don't worry. Oh,
all right, go. Now, too fast might have been a problem, but limp noodle.
But we ain't talking about that.
Quick bumps and a dip might have been a problem, but limp noodle ain't been a problem.
Had a little too much alcohol that night.
Maybe one time I had a limp noodle. I don't remember. When was the last limp noodle episode?
That shit right there be soul crushing, too, right? You about to get in your bag, you think so?
You think?
I'm trying to figure out when's the last lip. Like, I told you, lip noodle.
Like Marlon off so, 6 cents. Trying to wake that boy up.
Figure it out. Yeah.
I told you, lip noodle story.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, now you didn't brought up. Now you don't want to speak
about it. Don't worry about it.
I'm trying to remember that. Now because I don't remember a lip noodle story.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Give me a hint. Or get bent.
And spit.
Whoa. And spit too. That's crazy. Y'all pause. Gotta pause. Whoa.
Pause.
Y'all chill, dog.
I gotta pause the whole first half of this part.
Shit.
All right, man. Without further ado, for one, man, salute to Patreon in the building, man. Crusader Nation in the building. You understand me? Real crew season day ones. You understand me? We ran into one at the show recently, man. A couple days ago, man. Bro was a true crew season member. You understand me? He was quoting lines. He knew about all the inside jokes, all that, man. So salute to bro, man. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Did he know my mixtape trap?
He said he was waiting to drop.
Not. Then he ain't a real member then.
I hope not.
I dropped the exclusive EP back in 2022.
It was on all platforms?
No, one platform.
Close the platform. I'm curious. Now I gotta eat.
Clown salad. Not clown salad. Clown salad.
Because the sort of that went under. Damn.
They tricked me.
Oh man. All right. Without further ado, man, we're gonna get into some clips, man. We gotta send one. They was talking about chivalry being dead. And it was a woman speaking on why chivalry is dead, which was a bit ironic. But I'm gonna play it, see what y'all think.
Really don't appreciate shit. And this is why chivalry is dead. This is why men don't want to do shit for us anymore. Because the minute you start to not appreciate, but expect shit, I'm not doing it for you. And I'm a woman and I feel that way. And I know men that feel that way. I don't have to do anything for you but respect you. I don't have to send you money. I don't have to spend money on you. I don't have to do any of that. That's something I want to do. I really don't appreciate shit. And this is why I should.
She said, y'all don't appreciate. And this is why chivalry is dead. There's a lot of women that have expectations, but don't necessarily have appreciation on the back end of a guy coming through for those expectations. Do y'all agree with that reasoning as the main reason why it's dead?
I'm not in that ballpark, so it's hard to speak on that. To be honest with you, I'm not just gonna give it away. Like, buy you shit is out my league, or yeah, not in my character.
Right.
Like, take you on dates, you know, go on nice dates and stuff. I do that type of stuff. But normally, the women that I take out on dates and go to nice restaurants, they actually thank me, appreciate it, you know, show appreciation for the things that I do for them. Now, buying things, except for my gift card giveaways, that's about it. But women appreciate that, so I don't know. I think there's a cat. We got to label these women that's doing these type of things. There's women that just want things that, no, they're just out there. They get a purse, they're going to be fucking regardless. And there's women out there that's looking for love, or, you know, looking for things in a husband and traits in a husband that's going to appreciate those type of things. You know, and I think on both sides of the spectrum, men are going for women that they just want to fuck. They're not looking for marriage. And women are going for those men that just want to fuck and are looking for marriage, instead of going for the men that want to look for marriage. Because most of them men, you know what, just delete this whole part of this podcast. Where the
fuck I'm going? I was following you. I had you on one side, I was going to the other side. I was going,
then I got stuck. I hit a red light.
I tell you what, I do got a question though. Do you feel like the status or the success of that woman kind of contributes to the ungratefulness? And I'll preface it like this: like, the more successful women, from what I notice, tend to be a bit more thankful.
Yeah, because
they understand the grind. They understand what it takes to get to that level to be able to do these just cause type of things. But the women who are not as successful, I notice, tend to have the most expectations with lack of appreciation. Do you agree with that?
I got this lady in my life right now that's very successful. She's younger than me, but she's very, very successful. I mean, very successful. When I tell you, she appreciates everything that I do for her, does everything without me asking, pays her own way, pays our way. She didn't ask for no money, anything. Looks out for me and caring, all that kind of stuff. And she's very successful. That's like a different ball game, putting you in a different caliber of women that are looking for the man to go out. Oh, you need to be buying for this. I'm not paying for this. You need to be paying for my flight. You paying for. She's going out her way to do her own thing. She want to be there because she wants to be there, because she wants to be around me, not because I'm forcing her to be around me. And that puts you in a different league, honestly, with me. I don't know about other men, but with me, that puts you in a different league when it shows that you actually want to be there. You're putting the same effort in that I'm putting in, same amount of money, same amount of time, and pursuing me just like I'm pursuing you.
Right.
So it's a give and take there.
I agree. I think it's a misconception about men, and I'm gonna come to you and ask you this one. Do you feel like, because they say men have a hero complex, Like, we want to save women. Mm-hmm. We hear what men say all the time. Oh, I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care. I could be a cashier at Walmart and save her. Like, because men have a savior complex. Mm-hmm. But in my experiences, I don't necessarily feel that way about men. I think that if we run into a woman like Kenny is talking about, who's about her business, successful, appreciative, things of that nature, and who has it, that make us want to go harder for her. Instead of running into a woman who's dead broke, living on a couch or something like that, don't motivate me to spend money on her. If anything, it makes me weary. Mm-hmm. Because for one, you don't understand my lifestyle and you don't understand the grind. So without you being able to identify with it, you can appreciate it truly. But that's just my opinion. Do you do you agree with that with that statement in terms of like the women who prove that they had their own car, their own money, their own, like, very successful in life, and proves that she doesn't necessarily need you financially. Mm-hmm. That makes men want to go harder for that type of woman.
For the men that already have it and are comfortable, yes, I think it'll make them want to go harder because, like I've always said before, it'll be just that natural competition, that friendly competition of, I know you're doing good, I know I'm doing good, but I gotta keep us, you know, on a certain level. We can't, you know what I'm saying, fall down from this level that we're at. So we gotta keep on going. We gotta find the next thing for us to do, whatever it is, a year from now, whatever it is, we gotta focus on it. Versus those successful women. I think the other side too is just a lot of men just insecure, bro. Mm. And it's not even, it's just a man thing at the end of the day. I think a man can have a decent amount of money, but if that woman makes significantly more than him, who wants to be able to take all types of trips, or he walk in and see her closet and she got X amount of bags and all the heels that's $1,000 or, you know, $800 and up, like, that can be very intimidating.
Right.
He may have a nice car, a nice house or whatever, or a townhome, whatever, and living good, but, you know, it's levels to everything. And so I think anytime it's outside of the level, it's uncomfortable. Some men, yeah, they're going to want to go hard and match it. And I think those women will see that and reward them with a little more patience or grace and support in those areas whenever he is working towards it and already has it. Mm. Versus you not having it, and then you got to work your way from ground zero while she's already like an RN or something like that, traveling nurse. You know what I'm saying? They bringing in paper. So for a lot of men, that's very hard to keep up with. But for a lot of men.
And here's a question, because I always, this get thrown around a lot too, where, like, you know, the reason that men aren't intimidated by the women is just that we're intimidated by the attitude that come with it. But just like you said, there are a lot of men, and they won't admit it out loud, but they'll run into a woman that's successful like that, And it kind of makes you feel away a little bit. It makes you feel like, damn, wait a minute, am I on my P's and Q's?
Absolutely.
Am I doing what I need to be doing? Like, what's the, what do you feel like that comes from? Do you feel like it's, and I don't want to give you the answer, but I'm going to just throw a suggestion out there. Do you feel like it's because a lot of men don't feel like we bring much else to a relationship?
Yeah. Yes. I don't think we've really identified who we are outside of money. For the most part. Yeah, we know to get a woman, we got to have a little charisma, got a dress or whatever. But outside of that, we need to have money. Because without money, you can't do anything. I can't take you on no date. You won't even look my way if my paper not right,
right,
for the most part. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We put a lot of our weight, I would say like probably 80% on finances. Mm. Instead of us adding other value to the other types of, you know, other areas of our life, it's so heavy because we've been told since we've grown up, like, if you want a woman, you got to have your money right, because no woman want a broke man. Like, since day one, that's what you hear. So it's a lot of pressure, absolutely. And that's why niggas tend to go fish at the bottom of the barrel, because if I'm at a certain level, if I'm at a four, shit, threes, twos, and ones all looking up to me, so I'm cool.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? And then I really want a six or a seven, but that's a little bit out of my range. So now I meet a six or seven, and now I'm uncomfortable because the things that you were doing to the threes and twos, that person's kind of doing to you,
unintentionally,
right,
because they live a lifestyle already. Like Kenny say, he go to Willie G's shit on the regular. There ain't nothing. Everybody can't do that. So you trying to compete with a woman that's always going to Willie G's two times a week or something, that man can't. Shit, that man doing that just Valentine's Day, your birthday, that's it.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it's levels to it.
Yeah.
Side note, Willie G's is not that expensive.
It's not, but
you can go to Happy Hour. You got to plan to plan your attack moves. Okay?
Good job. Coach him up, Kenny. Coach him up.
Go to Happy Hour and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, scope the scene of where you like to go out and drink and hang out and have a good time at. Because I'm not going there to look for women. I'm going there to have a good time with bar. I enjoy sitting at and drinking at with bartenders I enjoy conversating with while I'm there. What bar has the most supportive group of people there, or people that are business minded and I can connect with maybe in the future that are willing to conversate with me and have like minds. I mean, there's certain bars that you can go around that are, how do I say this? That are more communicative and communicative and
more that community feel. And
You just, it's more of a welcoming feeling than other bars where everybody just going there just to hook up.
Right,
true. You know, I'm not going for that. That's why I go to, not to sponsor Willie G's or get out there. Right. But I go there. This is the first time I've been there in
and they got good
months
too. Shit.
But I go there because I enjoy my time spending there. And then if I meet somebody there, that's cool or whatnot. But you know, I always say whenever I go to a certain spot, it's because I like going there. Right. If I'm gonna spend the bread, I know I'm gonna enjoy eating there. I'm gonna enjoy the drinks. I know I'm gonna have a good time. What you do on your side is what you want to do on your side. But
yeah. I'm gonna ask you real quick. Have you ever, younger you, ever been on like a date, but you on a budget, but didn't let her know?
No.
Okay.
I'm never on a budget. I'll go broke.
Enjoy myself.
Ain't no budget. Ain't no fucking budget.
But I'm saying, but you got 150.
I'm gonna get it
for
back.
The night. So you gonna go negative?
That's why you have overdraft.
Overdraft. No, but that's real. But
keep
that's
the party going.
No, but that's real. Hey, I appreciate that answer though, because that's real. Because I was just saying that to say
that's college days, like that ain't even dating. That's fucking.
Yes, that's dating right now for a lot of men.
Well, now for a lot of men, if that's you and you only got $150, really $150,
niggas don't even have that.
Come on, dog.
Again, chips and salsa. Nigga couldn't even afford chips and salsa, man. Nigga.
At the end of a month, you only got $150. You have to make drastic decisions. Okay,
I get it.
You got to make a decision for the next 6 months. You ain't doing shit. If you only got $150 left at the end of the month, don't do shit. You ain't going out. You ain't going on no trips. You ain't buying no new shoes. No new clothes.
Yes.
I wouldn't even get a fucking haircut, to be honest with you.
Yes, but Kenny, during this process, come on now. I mean, I'm just trying to speak for the other side. During this process for men, though, so you're not supposed to go 6 months without no ass?
Better jack off.
I gotta meet women. I gotta take them out. I gotta get to know them. I wanna get some cheeks.
You ain't gotta do that. That is not a need. That's a want.
I feel you. Come on now.
You
come on
need
now. Come on now.
To be financially responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You need to not be only saving $150 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You need in 6 months to be able to afford nice activities and stuff like that. In 6 months, you can do that. If you really put yourself in the grind, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. This is my budget. I'm buying fucking ground beef, tortillas, and cheese. I'm having burritos for the whole month.
It's real rough.
That might be a $50 meal that you can make 30 burritos out of, and you eat that the whole fucking month. I mean, you got to make sacrifices nowadays, man. In 6 months, people ain't going to fucking miss you, really.
6 months is a long time for people, too.
But once you do it, it's not a long time. Be honest with you. It's not a long time. Now, maybe for not fucking, possibly, but that's just part of life. I ain't saying you ain't going to fuck for the rest of your life. It's just 6 months. Jack off. You better be wheeling. Go buy some Jergens. Do whatever you got to do to make sure that. You know what I'm saying? Or find your little side piece for that, you know, you ain't got to take out. We all got that one that you know you can't, you ain't got to take out. That's going to sneak through.
Here we go. Go ahead.
You got to take him out eventually.
No, you don't.
I know. No, I'm trying to shoot him some beer. Nah, you got to take him out of it.
9 times out of 10, they live it off of $75.
No.
That's why I work.
So what I'm saying is you got to make sacrifices as a man and a woman. Any human being in the world, if you're living off $150 a month, you got to make some fucking changes. If you got this nice ass car, you better get rid of that motherfucking buy a fucking hoopty.
I mean, that's real. I mean, it sounds drastic, man, but people don't understand the sacrifices that it take to become successful. Everybody just wanted to happen overnight, but it don't. Everybody that you see successful, they done had some dark ass times to where they had to get low and get dirty.
We in month 3 right now, literally. Mm-hmm. Just like that. That shit just flew by.
Quick.
And you still only got $150 a month left. You need to make some changes. Mentally, emotionally, and just self-evaluation. That, hey, I just ain't got it. Time to stop faking the funk and go do what I got to do. I've done it.
See, we all done it. So I say people be looking at the success. They look at the money. They look at the cars, the jury, all that stuff. And they just think, oh, man, I can get that tomorrow. I can get that overnight. It don't work like that. A lot of times it take a very dark period, man. That's why I like listening to interviews of people who successful, people who got money. Because mm-hmm. they going to tell you, yeah, when I was working that damn 24-hour shift at Jack in the Box for 3-4 years just trying to stack up enough money for me to just start my startup business that nobody believed in, and I had to do a bunch of research because I didn't have nobody to give me the intel, and and I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years of just nothing, driving a Toyota Corolla that had 105,000 miles on it, but this is what I had to do. But my business took off, and now I'm a multimillionaire. So, but that's the part that they don't pay attention to is that grind. Everybody want a shortcut. That's why you see so many people accusing people being gatekeepers. Because if you was really on your grind, that wouldn't matter. You your own gatekeeper.
Facts.
We in the era now to where you could literally start a business in your damn living room, or start a business in your bedroom with a damn camera and a $30 microphone. You got people that's able to sustain lifestyles. And I ain't even talking about becoming a millionaire. I'm talking about just living comfortably. Just off of that, you may work your regular job and start your little YouTube channel or start your whatever the case may be, bring in a couple of extra thousand a month. You comfortable. But are you willing to put the grind in to do it? Most people not. They say they are. It sounds good. But they not. So, yeah, I agree, man. But also, just to get back on topic, I think a lot of men put way too much pressure on money. So much so to where you got guys who are willing to get dirty, just like we talked about, get real low and just focus on stacking money, and then think that once I get the money, everything else is going to be easy in terms of my relationships. But it don't work like that, because you got to have social skills and you got to develop those skills. So even what Kenny is talking about, going to the bar, that give you that community feel, you need to be doing that anyway, just to practice your social skills, practice talking to people, practice, you know, experiencing different type of people and seeing what they like, so you can be comfortable in whatever environment. But it's a lot of people who got a lot of money and awkward as a motherfucker with zero social skills and wondering why, damn, I can't get no woman, or all these women just want me for my money and that's it, that's all. Well, that's because you hadn't worked on the other part. So much more that you could bring to the table aside from money, and I just want men to get that through our head, bro. It's knowledge, it's leadership, it's security, physical security, infrastructure, guidance. It's a bunch of different things that you can give women that don't have nothing to do with money. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying money is not important, but that's not all you are as a man. And until you get that through your head, it's going to be tough sledding for you, baby. I'm going to be real.
Again, keep working on yourself until you meet the right woman.
Right.
Like we told bro out there in D.C., like, keep grinding. Keep focusing on you. Keep sharpening your tools. Add new things to your bag. Whatever that is, man. Whatever. You could be in a car club. You could be going swimming. Go to the gym. Different types. Just anything. It's so many different things and clubs for people to get in, bro. And that's unique niches and stuff that you'll have a blast with. But you just got to do a little research. Go out there. Have a good time. You could even meet somebody in one of those groups. Mm. But through that, though, focus on yourself. Like, if you like reading books, like, just do things outside of work. Because a lot of times you just be at work, you just expect something to just fall in your lap or just meet the woman of your dreams and all that stuff. It ain't going to work like that. Keep on grinding. Keep focusing. Take your time. Be patient. And just be consistent. And the right person going to come. They're going to fall right in line with what you're doing. But you have to have confidence and keep pushing through those moments. Mm. It's gonna be some downs. It's going to be ugly. But you got to keep working on you. So that when you do have that right woman, when she does come along, it'll be much easier. And then she sees how confident you are and that she can follow your leadership off that. But if you just still
trying to juggle things and you weren't sure and can't find your way, like, she really going to be hesitant to join your squad. You know what I'm saying? So just be mindful of that.
Yeah, man. Stop tying your money. Stop tying your happiness to money, man. Money is fleeting. It's just real. I know billionaires that done went broke and climbed back up before. It's fleeting. You could be up today and down tomorrow, but if you tie your happiness to money, you will never be happy. Mm-hmm. That's just real. A lot of times the money go out quicker than it's coming in, more times than not. You know what I'm saying? So your happiness ties to that, bro. Good luck. But speaking of happiness, it was another clip I was sent. Speaking on, do women really notice when their man is unhappy? It was a group of women that was having a conversation, and one of them brought it up. I'm going to play the clip and see what y'all got to say about it.
Said he was moving out. He couldn't take it anymore. Like, he couldn't be in the relationship anymore.
Sorry, that threw me off.
Right.
Oh, shit.
So when she got home from work, all his shit was gone. And she hadn't heard from him. She was texting him, and he was blocking her. And then he would unblock her, say, okay, maybe we can talk, but then he would block her again. And that was their relationship. She's like, but everything was fine. I didn't notice anything was wrong.
Did she not notice, or did she not care to notice?
That's the thing. So then when I saw that meme about women don't know that you're unhappy until it affects them, I'm like, oh, shit. I had to reflect and see if that's true. Do women care about their man's happiness that much as long as their man is making them happy?
That, realistically speaking, you can tell that your partner is unhappy. Like, if you guys are doing stuff and they don't want to participate in the things that you're doing, like, they start to be standoffish, that you have to be really selfish to not notice that in another person. That's your partner. Mm-hmm. And especially someone that you're living with, like, we're sharing a home. You're telling me that one day you didn't black on him for not doing the dishes and he didn't give you a look?
He said he was.
It's a lot of women, apparently, who have no clue. That man is unhappy. The man packed this shit up and moved out. And I don't know if y'all know how men minds work. Man, but it takes a lot for us to get to that point.
Man, she had somebody on the side. Let's be real here, bro.
Uh-oh.
Any woman that get blocked by her man is going to flip the fucking script. Instantly. And no way. What's wrong? She had somebody on her side that was giving her time that she needed while he was going through whatever he was doing. Mm. Any woman that you would never date or ever talk to, the minute that she get blocked, or don't feel the same emotions that she's giving to you, she's going to ask you what's wrong. Mm. I think a lot of women know when their man is not happy. I think the problem comes when they ask the question, and men in our ability to express what's going on at the time is not there. Mm. I think over a time period, you know, once a woman asks, hey, what's wrong? You say nothing. Okay. Hey, what's wrong? Ask again. You'd be like, you know, nothing. I got it. Then the woman just shrug it off. Okay, there's nothing. I'm going to go about my day. But they still know something's going on. But the more they ask you, us men are not giving it out there. I've said it plenty of times. Us men have a problem with expressing our emotions and things that's going on with us, because we don't want to hurt the person that we're talking to, because most of the time it's them that's the issue. Mm. And we don't want to hurt them. So we try to hold it in and find out ways that we can fix it. And if we can't fix it, we'll just go ghost.
Yeah.
Or blame it on something else. I think a lot of, I'm not going to say most women. I'm not even going to blame it on women. I'm going to blame it on us men. I'm going to say us men don't have a problem with expressing what the hell is going on with us to our women, or women that we care about, because we don't want to hurt them, or we don't want to seem weak. We don't want to seem emotional. We don't want to seem, quote unquote, on their side as the emotional person whenever we're expressing what the hell is going on. Because we really don't even know how to express. Still to this day, it's hard for me to express what the hell is going on with me. Mm. To anybody. So, let alone if I had a woman at the time. I work on it, but it's still hard to express what the hell is going on with me at certain times, because I just don't know how to do it. And I feel like that's the case with most men.
Mm. Oh?
Yeah, and you kind of be like, I ain't no bitch. You know what I'm saying? You just try to suck it up. But Kenny, you definitely took one of my points. It starts off with us setting that foundation at the beginning, man, just saying, like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Everything cool. So, like Kenny said, after time, you say, I'm cool. She's like, all right, la-da-da. She's going about her day. And you wanting her to really dig in deep and really find out what's going on with you, like you do with her, you know, whenever she thinks something, I mean, whenever you can tell that something's going on with her, You sit there and be patient. What's up, baby? Like, what's up? What's
she gonna lay it all right there in your
face?
You
know what I'm saying? And we don't got access. We don't do that. And that's the issue. I think sometimes we're waiting for her to give just a little bit more effort in that area. Now, I know some women do, but I don't think a lot of women try to really push the envelope because we say we good. So they assume we good. And we aren't as just emotionally vocal, like physically, and just we're not just outward with that energy when we are frustrated, for the most part. I think a lot of men, maybe we try to have like a calmer demeanor, but women, it's up and down every single day. They have different type of emotions, different feelings, and they express it every day. But us, we kind of bottle it in. So it's either we too calm or we too extreme. We don't know how to just be in between and communicate when we are kind of getting to the extreme level.
Yeah.
Do you believe, my question to Otis and you,
mm-hmm.
B, do you believe that this woman sat here and let her man block her and she was like, shit, everything's okay when he unblocked me? She ain't figure out nothing was wrong. She's just like, oh, okay, whatever it is. She didn't feel like nothing was wrong.
Well, I don't think that's how it happened. I think dude reached his breaking point and then he ended up blocking her. And then she went to her homegirl for advice, like, damn, I didn't even know what the hell. Like, why is he doing this? What's going on? And then he would unblock her and be like, you know what, man, we need to talk. And then he would think about it. And now I don't want to talk. Block her ass again. You know what I'm saying? So
do you believe that
confused.
She was okay with it?
No, hell no. No.
She never like raised a fist or nothing like, oh, hey, or do you believe that she was like, all right, whatever it is?
No. She was definitely mad as hell about it, mm-hmm. especially with him packing his stuff up and leaving, because she ain't got no context, no conversation. She don't know where he is and all of that. So, yeah, she's worried at that point. But I think that's what the girl in the video point was. It's like, how do you let it get to that point without knowing anything? So you're saying it just happened out of nowhere? Like, there was no signs, no nothing? You didn't catch nothing? And then that's when she said, well, damn, do we really care about our man's happiness? Or more importantly, do we care about it as long as we getting what we need?
And do you believe that's the case for most women? Like, they will let it get to that point right there, what you said, that within that example, they will never ask, are you okay? Or do you believe at least once? In this instance, they will say, hey, are you okay? Or
I think that a lot of women ask, are you okay, the same way that when we get on the elevator with a stranger, we ask, hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, we ask it, sure, but we don't really expect a drawn out, laid out answer. Hey, man, I'm struggling today. It's rough, man.
Right.
My kids, you know, mad at me. My wife done left me. They get to giving too much. We like, hold on, bro. I ain't asked for all that. Relax. I just asked how you was doing. Mm. But again, that's the guys that a lot of women ask it under. Now, there are some women who genuinely want to get to the bottom of it, even if they are the cause. I'm not saying that those women don't exist, but I'm saying that a lot of women ask but are not really that interested in getting to the bottom of it out of fear of what you said. I may be the problem, and I don't want to hear that shit.
Do you think they're interested or not prepared for what the answer is?
Both.
Both.
They're not interested because they're not prepared for it. And it goes to how they raised. We said it before. Like, a man is raised on how to take care of a woman, like how to provide what a woman needs. A woman is raised to know what to demand mm-hmm. from a man. You see what I'm saying? But rarely are women raised, and that's why so many of them struggle when they run into a good guy, because, damn, I don't know how to be a great woman to this good guy. I know what I'm, you know, my parents done told me, hey, you deserve this from a man. You deserve that from a man. You deserve this. But rarely ever do they sit you down and say, hey, once you find a good man, though, this is how you take care of this man.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay attention to this. You got to look for this sign. You got to do this. You got to do, and not just on holidays and his birthday. And say, no. Pay attention to detail to that man. Like, find out what his passion is. Like, help him facilitate it. It's like they don't get that tutelage. So a lot of times women got to lose a good man to learn it. And then when they get to their next man, then they're going to be way more invested, way more mm-hmm. diligent. But again, just like we said, it's a lack of interest because I'm not familiar with that. And especially if we get to the bottom of it and I'm the problem, I don't know if I can take that. Sadly, you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those situations, bro. It's like, even, you know, and it ain't just in relationships. It's family, too. Just like we talk about, you know, the boys, they have a time communicating. I mean, have a hard time communicating what's going on with each other. But it's out of fear of the unknown. We don't talk about things that deeply normally. we talk about surface level. Say, hey, what's going on? You know, some money or some women or some sports or whatever, and we, you know, some jokes or whatever, and we keep it there. But the reason that guys don't really dig like that is because if it gets that in depth and bro tell me something that's like really bad or that's really affecting him away, damn, am I going to be able to handle that?
Or give the right answer.
Or get the right answer. So because it's uncomfortable and because it's unfamiliar, I'd rather just stay away from it. Now I'm going to ask because I am concerned and I hope that he, you know, that he's okay. But am I really willing to pick up the shovel and help him be okay?
I think the problem is that we're looking to, when we ask that question, we're looking to actually have an answer for it instead of looking just to give him the way to have an outlet to release it.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we just need to be there to ask a deep question and be like, hey, just give it to me. I mean, I'm not going to have the right answer, but at least you can let it out and tell somebody else. And maybe I'll do my due diligence to look at some information and find out, hey, maybe you can go here, maybe you can go there and find an answer. And on the other side, the person that's giving it, they should look at it the way like, hey, maybe he can help me out and find other answers for me because I just can't find the fucking answer.
You know what's wild about that, though, bro, is that, like, men are not comfortable not having answers.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm one specific. I done held a lot of shit from you niggas. I done told some deep shit, and I still got deeper shit that you can't even take that goddamn sub that blew up.
That's real, though.
Rest in peace, them. But you still can't take that sub that when that's how deep it is, because I'm scared that y'all won't have the answer, but y'all still know more about me, even though y'all my brother. So, I mean, it's... There's things like that.
But the wild part is even from our lens, we scared of coming to you and you lay it out, and I don't know what to say. Like, damn, am I a real friend, bro? Like, I can't help him navigate this because a lot of men, like, our manhood is defined on us having answers, and when we get to situations where we don't, you don't feel like a man, and that shit is a lot for us to take. So again, I'd rather just touch it briefly. But let me, I don't want to dig too deep.
You know, crazy part, even with us having that, though, are we looking for an answer? Like, when we going through that stuff? Because sometimes it's just like, I just need a little bit of pressure release. I just need to get this off my chest, you know, instead of holding things in so much. Sometimes just talking about it is just a big relief.
Mm.
Just being able to have a conversation with somebody, just let them know what's going on, just... Man, this, you know, I didn't have this rough week, da, 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 da. I'm going, I'm pushing, I'm still good, but this is what's been weighing on me.
Mm.
You know, like, are we really looking for an answer? Like, do we want to vent? Like, what is it that we, like, what is some of the stuff that you think is, like, preventing us from doing so, outside of not, like, wanting to be a burden?
I think when it comes to me, it's hard for me because... In some instances, I feel like I should be way higher than what I am right now.
Mm.
And I know that y'all look at me at a higher tier than y'all look at everybody else. Mm. I mean, that's an honest take. Mm. And if I give you something negative or I give you something that you'd be like, damn, nigga, like, you really doing this? Like, you don't have no responsibilities. You don't have nothing. But this is really what you're doing right now. It's like, are you really a man or are you like, you're failing?
Mm.
And I don't want to like that in front of my parents or my best friends.
Right.
You know, so it's like those are the hard takes that I'm like, oh, I'm just going to suck it up and find a way to figure it out. You know, and I do sometimes. And sometimes I just hold it in.
Yeah.
And I know I shouldn't be doing that. That's why you go to counseling. But it's just hard because once you start laying, like for me, like when I start laying my deepest emotions to somebody, like it makes you want to tear. It makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
And I don't cry unless I'm at a funeral. And I don't go to funerals just because of that reason. Because I'm not an emotional person. I don't want to see that side of me come out. And probably that might be the reason why I can't do what I got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Crying is good, though.
It's deep sides of you that you got to reach that I just can't reach right now. I'm not even going to say the word can't. I should reach, but I haven't done it right now. Because I don't want to look on a negative side to my boys, my brothers, or my family. Because I'm in a position I've already... put myself in the light to where I am very successful.
Mm-hmm.
There's things on the back and that's just hurting me. Like, God damn, you should be doing better.
But look, here's the gift and the curse about that. and I'm presented with a question. Do you feel like you would be as successful if your mind didn't work like that? Like, let's just be honest here. A lot of things that are the worst things in the world for us emotionally, in terms of us bottling in and not expressing and things of that nature, but on the opposite end, it fuels us to be successful. Just like you said, I don't want to be looked at as no failure because I don't know, I've already established this plateau. So I'm going to do whatever I got to do to maintain that and to advance and to uplift myself. But do you feel like you would be as successful if you was the other way around as far as emotions and expressing yourself?
I feel like I'd probably be more successful. Because later on down the line, when I give it out to somebody or my dad or one of y'all be like, man, I done went through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, shit. Maybe you went through this at the same time as me.
And didn't even.
Or before me. I didn't even know it. And you already got the answer to how to get through this shit.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Like, I didn't talk to my pops. Plenty of times I'd be like, man, I'm going through this. And he'd be like, I done been through it. Here's what I did to get through it.
Right, right.
Or my coworkers. I got coworkers, you know, that's same skin tone as me because they know what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, I done been through that shit. Here's what I did to get through it. Here's what I do to, you know, to cope with some of this stuff. And here's what you shouldn't do to cope with some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's who you should talk to. Here's who you shouldn't talk to. And I think it'll make the process of me getting over the things or being more vocal, how to achieve certain goals faster than me just sitting here just stuck on it. Cause I mean, once you go through something that's traumatic or something that you just can't get over, something's just stupid. It's going to be in the back of your mind the whole time. Like the whole time, while you're trying to fight to get better, then it's still in the back of your mind. Like, why did you do it? Why are you still doing this? Why are you doing it? Cause you don't have the answer to it. You're trying to figure it out on your own rather than having the answer right there in front of your face from somebody that's been through it, probably harder than you went through it or deeper than you went through it. And they're like, hey, here's how I got through it. I think I'd be more successful, be honest with you.
Yeah, sometimes, man, you do some kind of way. Even if you may not come out directly and say it, I think just even putting yourself in a better atmosphere or at least attempting to kind of helps things out. Because I know with me feeling like similar feelings to what you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, like, man, there's some days where I would just be in the house and I really feel like I couldn't even move. It was just so much. I felt like it was just weight on me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like I may get up, you know, be walking around the house, but I'm sluggish. Like it's just like, damn. Like it's, and you don't know what the feeling is, but really it really be like depression, right. But you don't really think it is. He was like, nah, I'm just not in the mood today. But nah, it really be, sometimes it be like you really are going through it and you just trying to find ways to push through. So yeah, man, we gotta do something. That's why we be saying the other day, man, we gotta link up, we gotta go out to eat, we gotta just kick it, cause especially with us, man, we used to always play dominoes, spades, whatever. That was a weekly thing. And now we straight paw at work. We just boom, 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 boom. So I think, I think that'll help too, just us getting back together and kicking a little bit more and just, you know what I'm saying, outside of just business. You know what I'm saying? Cause that can, you know, that take a toll after time. You know what I'm saying? We do it, but it ain't like how we used to do shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's how people in relationships turn into strangers for that exact reason, you know, which kind of leads me to the next topic. But, you know, when y'all are just, when it's just y'all, when there's no kids involved, y'all spending a whole lot of time together, y'all kicking it, y'all, you know, vibing with each other, watching movies, laughing, joking, inside, things of that nature. Then y'all have kids, and all of a sudden the kids take all the attention. So much so to where, you know, every conversation we have is revolving around a kid. And then you look up, do this for 5 to 10 years, you may get to the other end of that and not really know the person that you're living in the same house with no more. Because so much of your life just done being consumed. Like you begin to use it as a distraction. Like even when y'all beefing, or we ain't talking, but we going, you know, we could be in the same room with the kid and we talking to the kids. Are we doing this? Are we doing that? Just passive aggressive instead of just really connecting and really building with each other. And I think a lot of men, we do the same thing. Whatever it is that we consume with at the time, whether it's partying or whether it's going to the club or watching sports or whatever the case may be, but it's not real conversations happening until it's just dire situation. And now it's like, damn, bro, you should have came to me, bro. But in reality, we don't really create a space for each other to come to each other like that. When we get together, it's jokes immediately, right when you walk through the door. So it's like, you know, we don't want to bring the mood down. How you go from that to like, nah, bro, I'm really fucked up.
Come in with your head down, like.
You know what I mean? Like that right? If you walk in like that, we gonna joke on you right out the gate. You know what I mean?
Hell wrong with you. Like just,
you know what I mean? So it's like, and again, it's not malicious, mm-hmm. but it's just that's the nature of our relationship, or most guys' relationship. But again, man, you do that enough, and then everybody in the group start feeling like, damn, this ain't really a space for me to express like what's really going on. Like I'm failing in my marriage, and you know, I'm losing my job. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. I'm, you know, it's a bunch of different things. You know, my family putting too much pressure on me to do this or do that, and it's just starting to take a toll on me. And it's, you know, I'm not right mentally. Like we gotta have a space where those kind of conversations can happen.
Facts.
And it will help us in all aspects of life, in our relationships, and just our day to day mental health, just feeling light. I know, because y'all think like I do. I know y'all walk around just with weight on your shoulders every day. And it's just like, man, like, do it ever let up?
Right.
And the fucked up part about it is that we all come from circumstances to where we feel like, hey, money can fix it. You know what? I'm feeling a lot of pressure right now. I'm just going to make some more money. Everything going to be all right after I, you know what I'm saying, get to take care of this business. I pay these bills and I, you know, I start stacking some money up. But it don't work like that. The money come and it bring extra problems with it. Yep. It ain't no money. I get the money, everything solved. It don't work like that.
More money, more problems.
But what does work like that is having a sense of community. Yep. Having somewhere that we can really come to and really just, you know what I mean? And not on some like formal, hey, we're going to meet every Tuesday and talk about our feelings. Not formal like that, but just it has to be a space created where we feel comfortable coming to each other about that. Because if we don't come to each other about it, we ain't talking to nobody about it. Let's just keep it real. So, yeah, I mean, man got to do better. But see, for everybody listening, oh, they be bashing women. See how we spun it right back to what men need to do?
Mm.
Crazy how that works. Crazy how balance exists sometimes. All right. We're going to get welcome to the next one. Children should not be a priority within a relationship. This was an OG talking about this, and the man that has 5 kids himself. I'm going to play the clip on his explanation. But children should not be a priority in a relationship.
Fuck them kids. In your relationship, your children are not the number one priority, or should not be the number one priority. I was with a couple not long ago. They have, I think, 4 children. And what the man was saying is, boy, I see all of this admiration for my kids. I see all of this love for my kids. But when it comes to me, she don't have no more bandwidth because she's not paying enough attention. And ladies, our children matter. Our children are important. I told you, I got 5 of them. But let me tell you something. In your relationship, your children are not the number one priority, or should not be the number one priority. Your relationship should be. I tell this to women, I tell it to men. Why? Because those children are going to grow up, and those children are going to leave you. Those children are going to say bye-bye. They're going to say deuces, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got to make sure that your relationship is the utmost priority.
Children should not be the priority within your relationship. Do y'all agree with that?
1,000%. How he explained it was perfect. And I think it's God or whoever you serve up top. Your partner, then the kids. Everything else fall, you know, how we do. But absolutely, because without you two, the structure is gone. If you don't have that foundation, it's out of there. The kids going to see it. Like the day-for-day stuff. First off, the kids going to see it. And second, the kids, they going to be grown and going out the house. So what you going to do with them kids out the house? Y'all got to live together. If not, y'all, it's going to be bad because y'all ain't going to know what to do because y'all whole life revolved around just doing for the kids. Like, and the conversation you just finished saying, y'all end up losing sight of who each other were. 20 plus years, don't know your partner. Don't know the person that she likes then changed. She was like Dooney, now she like, you know what I'm saying, something a little bit better. She wants some Chanel or something. But you know, doing that's old. But yeah, man, like you gotta learn your partner. You gotta keep dating them, man. You have to continue dating your partner. Find ways to be creative. There's too many kids. Wait till the kids go to sleep. Y'all got an hour and a half. Do something creative. Like a date don't have to be the whole entire night all the time. You gotta find just different ways to love on each other and continue bringing that spark.
like I like that couple that's been on the Terrence Whitfield.
Mm-hmm.
I like them, that couple that's been on there, and they was talking about they role play. She spice it up. He come home for work. She in a different outfit, like just and they been married 40-50 years. So that's the type of stuff you got to continue to do to make your relationship last.
Ain't no kids in that house.
Not no more.
Ain't nothing but cobwebs, yams.
Yams.
Get them yams.
Oh my God.
Ain't no kids in that house at 45 plus years of marriage. They better spice it up.
Hey.
Or they gonna turn it to Old Spice.
Bruh. Say Old Spice. Old Spice. Hell nah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, just it's like I just said, bro. I think, you know, it's real easy to let kids distract you, dog. And it's because having conversations about somebody changing or about you changing, it's just uncomfortable, man. But when the kids is there, we got something to blame it on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Why I'm distracted? Why I haven't taken you out? Why we ain't spent no time? You know, the kid got this. Oh, you know, I have the homework. Oh, hey, I got to do this. I got to do that. And both of us do it. Let's just put it on the table here. You know what I'm saying? But I think that after so long of doing that, man, your relationship is going to be doomed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying neglect your kids. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the kids is going to be okay.
Yep.
Get them some structure. Put them on routine. And they're going to be okay. They should be in that bed by 8, 9 o'clock. And that's not just, you know, so they can get 8, 10 hours of sleep. No. It's so y'all can have some time to bond with yourselves. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, a lot of households, your kid going to sleep 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
School night. So you don't have time to spend with each other. As soon as y'all get home, the kids are there. Up all night, running around, playing, eating, loud, all that. You ain't got no time to really sit down and have a real conversation.
Dirtying up the house.
You know what I'm saying? So when the kid finally get into bed, it's shit the night over with. We got to get up and go to work tomorrow.
Back at 5.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, bro, like, you got to force it. And, you know, I think... You know, it stems from, unfortunately, a lot of us don't grow up in households with healthy couples in them, right? So because of that, our parents tend to lean on us for that companionship to where, you know, we hear it all the time. You know, hey, you the man of the house. That nigga, 9 years, he 9 years old. How is he the man of the house at 9 years old? So what that does is that creates a unhealthy relationship between the parents. And vice versa with the you know, I done seen, you know, a lot of mothers be treating their daughter like they sister. She 12 years old. Why are y'all kicking it like this girl time, girl talk? And I'm not talking about just spending time. I'm talking about talking to her like she's an adult. So, you know, that creates an unhealthy bond. So when what I mean by that is when those kids grow up, the attachment to their kids is going to be unhealthy as well. So much so that I sacrifice my relationship. For not relationship, my marriage. I'll tank my marriage to maintain this unhealthy ass relationship that I grew up in. And so much so, even men, like that man of the house stuff. Now when the man grow up and he leave the house, now he conflicted when he get a new girlfriend. Because now I'm neglecting my mama. Mm. I'm not able to be there for my mama and be the man that she need me to be since I was 9 years old. You know, or she got issue with me going to find a new woman because I'm all she got. So I got, you know what I'm saying? So it's just so many unhealthy dynamics that get created. And that's why people lean on their kids and prioritize their kids so much. But just like you said, the order is the higher being that you serve, your partner, and then your kids, period. So, you know, but a lot of us don't operate like that. And it's because a lot of us come from broken situations. So that's my thoughts on it. Kenny, what you think? I already know what you're going to say. I ain't got no kids.
I don't know that feeling. I don't know. I don't know what that feeling is like. You know, on one end, I think, you know, once you're bringing a kid in the world, you are obligated to take care of that child and the needs that they need to be met. And on the other end, I understand, like, if you're in a relationship with that person, you're obligated, or married to that person, you're obligated to fit their needs as well. And that goes on both sides. If you come home and your wife is giving the kids all the love they need, if it was me as a father, I'd say, shit, I'm about to take this off her hands. I'm about to take half of this duties that she doing and put it on my burden to where now she has free time and see what she does with that free time.
Mm.
If every time I come home, she's distressed and giving all her love to the kids, I feel like that, to me, in essence, that means that when you come home, you ain't doing nothing with the kids. Mm. She's doing all the homework. She's cooking. She's cleaning. She's getting them ready for bed. And when they're done, you expect her to have time for you. Instead of you saying, oh, when I come home from work, hey, y'all got homework? All right, let's sit down and do this. Oh, y'all got to take a bath? Okay, I'm going to go get the bath ready. That way in her spare time, she can take time off, and then you have time for each other. It's give and take. I mean, it's right. Come with kids. I mean, they're kids. They're not adults. They don't know how life goes. Mm. They don't know anything. You still got to take care of them. And I'm not saying whenever they got something going on, you say, well, you know what? Mommy and daddy ain't had no time together, so y'all asses go. Go to the room. You know what? I'm just going to see you in the grandma house, and we're going to go do some stuff every weekend. And they're like, well, shit, where mommy and daddy? Oh, they out of town. They going drink, going party. I'm like, well, I spend more time at grandma's house than I do with mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just working roles in that shit. And I don't have no kids. So I don't know how that goes, so I can't speak on it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think career plays the same role. If we're gonna be honest here, a lot of times people let the job become just as big of a distraction as they do the kids, and then we'll tie it to, well, hey, you know, this lifestyle that I'm providing, or you know, this lifestyle that we want. Like, we got to work our ass off to get it, and things of that nature. But you do enough of that, you working all the time, and you bringing the work home when you come home. I'm working all the time. I'm bringing the work home when I come home. Where the hell? We have time for each other at in this. So, you know, again, man, it's about balance, bro. Don't get me wrong. Lifestyle, a good lifestyle is important in that sense, in the job sense. But what good is creating a lifestyle if it's chaos within it? Because that's what that's going to create. It's going to create strangers within it. We've been knowing each other 20 years. Or let me rephrase. We've been knowing of each other for 20 years. But we ain't really got a connection like that no more. So we don't spend enough time together. Like all the little inside jokes and shit we used to have when we was broke or when we had no kids, that shit over with now. So, you know, again, man, you gotta prioritize your relationship if you want it to last. It's just like anything else. You gotta pour into it if you wanna be good at it or if you want it to sustain or have longevity. But if you start making excuses as to why you're neglecting it, good luck. Good luck. And on that note, we're gonna go and get into advice column.
Advice column.
Let me get it together. All right, first one, man. This is from GG Patreon.
Good. GG.
Yeah, it's GG.
What's up, GG?
What's going on? She said, "Hey, it's GG. Firstly, I love y'all. Y'all like the cousins I needed growing up or the brothers that I wish I had. I follow y'all on Instagram and stay sharing and showing all your videos. As soon as one of my friends going through it, I hand them the Bible. Like, hey, listen to Crew Season episode 141, started the 32-minute mark. Say congrats to OT on the marriage. Three-fourths of the way done. Say since Kenny light-skinned, it's understable. Oh, it's understandable why he ain't done it yet because he light-skinned. Basically, she's saying you got it on these hoes. JK. But my question is
confusion right now.
I'm confusion. I'm 32. I'm not going to go on about what I do and have. Just know I'm comfortable and I want for nothing on my own accord. I've been single a little over 2 years. Left my last relationship when we got to a bad point and no return. And I stand my ground when it comes to what I feel is allowed in a relationship. I've been taking that time to learn my non-negotiables and my compromises I'm willing to make when I'm dating. Just this year, I started seriously dating. And while it's been okay, I'm still single. I'm not ugly, but I'm not Beyonce either. I'm in shape and I know how to put that shit on. I'm born and raised in Alabama, so my wrist in the kitchen is bananas. My ex did set the bar of minimums. I'm not comparing men to him, but I know what a man who cared about you and wants you to genuinely look like. Oh, wants you genuinely looks like. So men can't get over me or get over on me with that going through the motions bullshit. Plus, I live, eat, and sleep Crew Season, so I'm Thanos now. So I'm considerate, I'm thoughtful. If a man makes it to the third date, usually the date is on me. And I take him out to show more through actions, the feelings is mutual. But when I get to the point of spending time with men, they fumble within the first month. I'm a great woman, very humble speaking. I'm considerate, I'm confident. I treat a man how I want to be treated. Like Trill always says, when a woman likes you, she gonna do whatever. I used to massage my man back and feet, and I hate feet. And cook his meal preps to help him lose weight and do all of the wifely duties. because a woman who loves you knows no limits. I'm your nurse, masseuse, therapist, secretary, cook, and sex demon.
Come on now.
You need when you on my team, and it's us against the world. I lead with my intangibles, never my career.
Come on now.
And what I do or what I have accomplished, but I think they see it on my Instagram. How do I date these black men with preconceived notions that I'm this independent woman who don't need a man when I never said that in my 32 years on this earth, in all caps? My only reason for living is to be married and to one day have children. But they assume that's my attitude without even knowing me. I can't help my commanding presence. I'm soft and feminine, but my line of work, I'm not that woman. So people give me a stereotype and I ain't even asked for it. I love men, and Destiny's Child's Cater to You is my mental theme song.
Come on.
Yet it seems men rather chase Big Lotto and Sexy Red than a woman who would treat them right without drama. I've never even cheated on a man, ever, even though I have one BF that cheated on me. What do I need to be and do to get dateable options for me? I don't smoke. I barely drink. I don't like clubs. I go to R&B spots in my city every now and again. But most men I go on dates with have come from my DMs. I need a leader. I'm tired, boss. If I get my heart broke or run into another man claiming to be quote-unquote ready until he actually is ready, man, put some money on my books because I'm going to jail. Damn. So, essentially, she's very successful.
I know.
You know, she's willing to go all out for the right man. But unfortunately, a lot of men that she run into, which she says primarily come from her DMs.
It's GG.
Mm-hmm. GG.
DG, yeah. GG.
They primarily come from a DM. She said they get to wilding in the first month. And she's beginning to lose hope, man, on these dudes, man. So she's saying, where does she need to go to find some dateable options? Being a woman of her stature.
First of all, from what I've seen from Instagram, she needs to stop posting on her Instagram. She posts way too much on her goddamn Instagram. For me, as a man, I was looking to date someone. You post way too much. Second, you post way too much of your body.
She's proud of it.
That's comfortable. But what you post the most of you in your body, stomach out, ass out. What's that attracting? Hyenas.
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 Men on the prowl. Second, you posting everything that you want, man. So you definitely, they're going to come out everywhere, the woodworks. You name it, and you dating the ones that's coming from your Instagram DMs. What about the ones that's just out and about? I'm not going to say what you do for them because I know what you do for them. But the ones that's in your community where you go around, you walk around. I know there's men that's didn't try to shoot they shot at you where you at because I've been in that platform.
But that's probably, that's why she avoid.
But you avoid them, but you go for the ones in your DM, your Instagram DMs? The ones that only know you from what you post?
Well...
And when you post mostly your body, come on now.
She going away from what's familiar.
I mean, it's the dating world is hard. Nothing's easy. It's not. But I think you're looking in the wrong places for somebody that you truly want to be with. And I think you're looking entirely too hard. Like you expect the man that you go on a date with the next day to be the one. And I think you're giving him everything possible in 3 dates. Yeah. Hey, I'm a woman of your dreams. I'm sex demon. I'm cool. I'm calm. I'm very, you know, successful. But I'm not. But look at me. You know, he's like, I already know what you look like. I done seen you. I know what you're giving. We done been on 3 dates now, baby. Instead of being like, hey, look, these are my boundaries. I think you're cool. I think you're cute. You know, in the first month, we shouldn't even be on 3 dates, to be honest with you. It should be 1 date in that month, and then y'all conversate through text, phone calls, whatever it is, just to know how they feel. How are they without you being around? Can they go a day without conversating with you?
Conversing
with you. Okay, goddamn.
And three dates. I don't think 3 days is bad.
3 dates in a month?
Yes.
That's too much time. You ain't know this person.
But I'm getting to know you on the phone every single day if we talking to
each
other.
No, it's not every single day. Because you got things that's going on in your life still. Like if in the first month, to be comfortable for me, that's how I do it.
So this is, I just got your number. We just exchanged contacts.
February 1st. Okay. Let's not do February because there's not enough days in February. Let's do
January
March.
1st.
January 1st. Cool. I got your number January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
from January 1st, our first date should be a week and a half from then.
Yes, I agree with that.
That week and a half, we went on our first date to whatever it is, whatever y'all comfortable with going. Y'all met in person. Y'all had a conversation. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a deep conversation. I don't.
It was a filler. That first one just a fill out.
Fill out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you why your mother kicked you out the house or why your father was beating on you. I didn't ask you all those questions. Mm-hmm. Right. I asked you, simple questions to guide how you fit within my boundaries. Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Second date mm-hmm. should be January 31st. Another week and a half out. That's not 3 days.
I'm say, damn, wait a minute.
Close. Close. In 3 weeks.
Close. The 15th. Another week and a half is what? That's 3 weeks.
So the 8th and the 20th?
A week and a half is not the 8th.
Kenny said the 31st.
Oh, so the 9th.
First day.
So I got your number on the 1st. So
the 14th. So the 15th. The 14th. And
that's 2 weeks in, Kenny. Yeah, week and a weeks. Half would be like 11, 12.
Okay, 11 and 7 from there is what, 18? Another
so about 25th.
3 days.
2 weeks apart.
25th. 2 weeks. 25th, 31st. Okay. Same thing.
Tell me that's second date.
Come on now. I'm with you though. Come on.
2 weeks. The second date should be when y'all go and y'all have y'all deep conversation.
Okay.
And y'all trying to get to really know each other. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for? Mm. Are you looking to date or be in a relationship? You know in a motherfucking line if they want to be in a relationship or not. You ask them three simple questions of what you need in a relationship. Do you want kids? Are you looking for marriage? How did your last relationship go? That's what I would ask them. And if they stumble on any of those three questions, they're not looking for a relationship. Because they didn't prepare themselves to give you an honest question back to your three answers. But you go on 3 dates within a month, I'm not with that. Because if I go on 3 dates with a girl within a month, I'm going to fuck.
That's the whole point.
In a 3 dates in a month?
But he's saying,
what's your bill?
Smash him the first month.
What's your bill total?
It all depends on where you're going. We talking to me. Low overhead, baby.
What's your bill total? Three.
Chipotle.
No.
You feel me?
Your gym membership gonna be $20 anyway.
Well, hey, free guest pass. Free guest pass, baby. Free guest pass. What's up? Sign up online.
You gotta do an
free trial.
You gotta do an ab rollers every.
We go hiking to the gym.
The second day. Where the second day?
Go to the park.
Where the second day at?
Free guest pass is crazy for the date. Go on.
Second date. Second date, we outside.
We outside what?
It's park.
You spend at least how much? You spending some money, bro. How much you spending?
$100.
Third date, how much you spending?
$100.
Hell no. Come on, dog.
So you say $100 on each date?
He didn't went on 3 dates and that didn't have one nice date. That's insane.
For the first date? Oh no. Oh no. Lord have mercy. Oh, no.
I know you better than that.
No. No, 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 no. Third date?
I'm not even going to let you answer this question. B, if you look at Otis right now, do you think on 3 dates he ain't been on one dinner date?
One of them going to be over 100. I understand where you're going, but...
One of them.
Am I going to a Steak 48 or Maestro's or something that. Like that?
You ain't got to go there.
You ain't
got to
go there.
You don't.
Yeah, but that...
A drink at a regular restaurant is $12 to $15.
You can go to Papa Do's and easily spend $100.
Exactly.
Over $100.
So I just $100.
Over $100.
Look.
The night ain't going to end there either. That's what we're not factoring in.
Getting my sauce away. Yes, it is. We're going to the crib. The night is ending there. Crawfish, $5 crown rolls.
Okay. $5 crown rolls.
What? It's happy hour. Hey, you ever been locker room for 5 to 8 on Tuesday? Taco Tuesday. $2 tacos. Shout out to locker room. Shout out to Sid, by the way. You got what?
Boy, okay, let's put it that way. $5 crown rolls.
Well, you can have about 10 tacos.
10 tacos.
6 drinks. And six drinks. $70. Think what you talking about.
What's 6 times 5, Otis?
30. And 10 times 2
a
is
piece.
20.
A piece.
No, but, all right. If she drinking 6 times.
Six girls on the first date.
No way.
she fighting deep.
Hey, we talk about Big Shirley.
dog.
She fighting demons if she draws six crowds.
Six crowds. She's going through some shit. I got to check outside.
If I go 3 days with you in a month, I'm fucking. And the attempt to be serious was not there ever.
I don't think so. Because again, if I like spending time with you, I'm going to want to do something. It ain't got to be necessarily like, but like, yeah, when we start getting serious and we texting all day, every day, yeah, then maybe I want to take you out somewhere nice.
3 days in a month, your bill going to be over $500.
No. No, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, Kenny, I'm telling you. You got to earn that with me, bro.
Oh, so she coming over to your crib.
You got to earn that with me. Yeah, she may come to the crib.
Then you're going
to
be fucking anyway.
I might cook for her or something. But nah, a date like that, you got to earn that with me.
Then you're going to be fucking anyway.
We talking about getting to know somebody.
You going to be fucking.
Fucking always going to be in that equation.
We know the real answer. We know the real answer.
That's going to happen.
Come to the crib.
But that aside.
Come to the crib.
We talking about
come to the crib. Because you know what I'm saying? I don't want to spend no money. So come to the crib. Then once I hit, I'll level you within the other woman that I got.
No. Not necessarily.
Necessarily.
If I invite you to the crib the first day, and the first time.
And she pull up.
Are you looking at her different?
I'm looking at you different.
I'm looking at that's what you offered on the first
date. I'm looking at myself different too, though. Because you already know that woman. She could be trying to, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Set you up or something. You never know. But sometimes, hey, when you don't care, you just trying to get that ass. But at the same time, again, I'm just using this now. It's like going fishing. If she take the bait, hey, what I'm supposed to say? Now, when you come to the crib, we're going to have a good time. I'm going to light the hookah. I got some wine. Whatever wine you told me you liked, I already got that prepped for you. Might have some sushi or something that I know that you like.
Sneaking away.
Playlist going. Got the lights right. Got the candle smelling good. I didn't clean up the whole crib. You could walk in like, okay. Yes, absolutely, Kenny. You ain't got to spend no $500 in 3 dates. Nope. Mm.
This nigga said one date. Sushi, wine, candles.
At the crib.
That's one date.
That's one out the three.
You didn't win above and beyond.
He gonna spend over $100 if you're cooking for anyway.
I'm doing that. I'm gonna light the candles and have it smelling good by myself. I drink at the crib by myself.
Candles cost, liquor cost, the food you cooking gonna cost. You gonna get over the $100.
That's included already.
That's one date.
That's an included bill. That's an included bill.
All right, man. But back to the question. Y'all niggas got way off.
I didn't have a good answer for the question. Right. Get off that. I don't know why you single. Goddamn. Be honest with you. I don't know. Work on it.
Work on something. This is something. Got that. Fix it.
I don't have it. If you know what you know, why do you do what you do?
God damn it.
What we know. Why do we do what we do?
Damn. If you was rubbing that man's feet, hugging on him, kissing on him every goddamn day, your ex-man, he gave you what you needed, your bare minimum, what you expect out of a man. Why did you leave him?
Well, I don't.
You said something about
why didn't you work it out?
And got to the point of return. I wonder what happened.
But then you got in every other man from this point on his standard.
Yes.
Right.
Because she said he basically pretty much set the standard. So it can't be below what he had already set.
But you know what's worse about that is because what that does is that forces you to move faster with men than you should be. Especially if you like a guy. Let's say, like we talking about 3 dates in 1 month, things of that nature. You ready for a relationship. And a lot of times when that's the case, you start doing relationship shit way too early. And that's what it sounds like to me. Because you take pride in what you bring to your man from a relationship perspective. You spoke on the tangibles. You spoke on sex demon. You spoke on like being considerate and knowledgeable and all these things. And that's great for somebody that's your man. But for somebody who's just trying to get to know you or whatever, you're doing too much of that. It's like, okay, cool. I'm enjoying these benefits. And then when I get tired of the benefits and I don't really want to go further, I'm gone. Right? But that person shouldn't be getting all those benefits that early anyway. It sounded to me like you giving men way too much access too early to you because you're comparing them to your relationship because you're so ready to be in one. You got to learn how to slow down. You got to learn how to, you know what I'm saying, like take a little bit of that. Take your foot off of that gas pedal a little bit, man. And I ain't even talking about sex when I talk about access to you. I'm talking about just all those benefits that come with being with you. I'm sure that those men are experiencing a lot of that early with you. And that's the problem, in my opinion, from what I heard.
That's basically what I was trying to say.
Right. Let me retract my statement really quick.
You're giving too much too fucking early.
Yeah.
And any man that knows that you done been on 3 dates with a woman knows that she's giving you everything she got within 3 dates, mm-hmm. basically. And you know how to manipulate her to your needs or what you want.
And the thing is, when she that willing and when she take that much pride, because that's the thing about reading that, like, you take a lot of pride in what you provide to a man. Like, mm-hmm. most women don't talk like that. So just me reading that, I already know how your mind is working when you run into a guy that you like. It's like, okay, you know, this could be something. We went on a couple of days, we talking a lot, boom, boom. I'm about to go ahead and lay it out for him. Like, this is what I bring, boom, boom, boom. And you know, being extra considerate and paying for things. Just like you say, if it gets to the third date, I'm paying for it. A lot of women not doing that.
At all.
You see what I'm saying?
So ain't paying till 15.
Right. So we talking about 1 month in, and you already doing relationship type things. That right there is dangerous territory. Because if I'm there to manipulate you, you playing right into my hands. And you ain't even letting enough time pass to see what my intentions really are.
But, damn, I agree 1,000% what you're saying. But also being in those shoes too, like, you also don't want to lose, like, you being genuine and just who you are either. Like, you don't ever want to taint that. Mm-hmm. Like, if she just naturally care about this person and, like, they vibing and she really don't mind because they seem like they having a good time, I can't fault her for that.
Question. Just real quick, not to cut you off. Why do you care that much in 1 month?
Ain't about to care. It's just a nice gesture because we rock with each other and we just having a good time. It ain't actually about to care. It's like, hey, you took care of the first two. We had an amazing time. We out for this third one. Still having an amazing time. I don't mind getting this one.
How about she pay for the first fucking date? How about that? Why not? You ain't worried about his money. You know what? Hey, we going on a date. I'm going to pay my side. You pay your side. This is how we going about it. Why does it have to be every date, the third date, I'm going to pay for it?
True.
And to be honest, I mean, I think she might have threw that out there as a example. I'm not sure. It's, okay, every third I'm gonna pay, but I think it's just she's basically saying I don't have an issue mm-hmm. paying for it. You know, early. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Like you take initiative, and I'm gonna meet you on the other way. And again, that's great. I don't take issue with that. But what else is happening on the outside of that is what I begin to take issue with, because it's nothing wrong with doing nice gestures, right? That's just like if I'm hurting for money, right, and I come to you and say, hey, bro, can I borrow 50? You gonna give it to me, right? Mm-hmm. But if a stranger come up to you and ask for 50 or 100, mm-hmm. you gonna look at me like, what? You get the fuck up out of here? But again, it's the same thing with access and benefits to you. It's nothing wrong with being kind, but there should be barriers. There should be boundaries to it. Okay. Not just because I like you, but because this is just who I am. Because it's a lot of people who operate and move in the world based on, hey, this is just who I am. I'm good-hearted. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And those people get taken advantage of the most.
That's true.
Unfortunately. So, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to, unfortunately, in this game, and we talk about it on this pod, and you know because you've been listening, this is a leverage game until you know what you know. Right? But until you do, it's leverage. It's nothing wrong with, you know, doing some nice things for somebody. But don't give a motherfucker an all-access card that they ain't earned.
Hell no. Buying a nigga some Beats headphones, second date.
I'm just saying.
What? Well, we're not speaking on the fact that within a month she expect a man to be all in for her.
Is she?
Yeah, she said within a month they fail.
Because they probably automatically just removed themselves. They probably only talk about sex. Some nigga, that's all they talk about. So it's...
We can't give a side notes. We're saying within a month she says... Every man that she's dealt with fails. Fails at what? Y'all still dating within a month. Ain't no man gonna be serious about you within a month. Mm. No man.
Yeah, but how much time do you give it?
At least 6?
No. If we
for a man to be serious about you? Come on, dog.
No. No, I didn't play.
I say 3. I say 3. But again, even that, it depends on how frequently that y'all kick it, how frequently y'all talking. But 3 dates a month, shit, by month 3, we done been on
9 dates. Yes.
That's a lot of time spent. And if you don't know by that point, it's time to move around.
That's a lot of money.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So now if you doing things by how you saying to do it, then 6 months makes sense. Because y'all not really that interacting that frequently. Or let me rephrase. Interacting in person that frequently. So 6 months would be understandable with that.
Yeah, because 3 dates in a month, to me, it seems like at least one of those dates is going to be at the house.
Is that, are you projecting or is that just a general statement?
I just know at least one of those dates is going to be at the house. And within when time month two come down, it's going to be fucking, a lot of fucking going on.
Mm. And they're going to be.
It just went from enjoying each other's company to enjoying each other's sex.
I agree with that. Sadly, I do. And again, it's not me projecting. I'm just saying, if you enjoy somebody enough to go out and talk that much, by month two, somebody gonna fold. And more times than that, it's gonna happen before month two. It's probably gonna happen last week of the first month.
Boys be too horny.
Yeah.
Women too. Men and women be.
For sure.
A decision in a month is wild.
Yeah,
but I don't care who you are. He must ain't had no pussy in a long time. He must be lame. There ain't no real ass nigga make a decision within a month.
Shit. So you telling me you ain't never just been able to tell in the first couple weeks if somebody not for you?
Never.
I don't know, Kenny.
Decide that I really like them? Yeah, but them being for me? No. I've liked a lot of people a lot. But them being for me?
That sounds wild.
Hell no. Hell no. Because there's things that they done that I can't agree with. And the things that I do, they don't enjoy.
But I don't know, Kenny.
I like what she does. I like them a lot. But I know who I am as a person. And she's not enjoying the things that I enjoy. And where her upbringing is not the same thing as my upbringing.
Correct.
And we're just not going to gel.
But haven't we always said, within the first 30 minutes to an hour, we pretty much know how we going to categorize this woman?
Yeah, if I'm a fuck or if I'm a texter.
Or if this person has potential.
If I'm a fuck, text means potential. That's basically what text means. The potential means I'm a text. And once I start texting her, then we know real potential from there. Because then there's a real conversation.
So conversing several days a week, along with 3 dates, you telling me you wouldn't be able to decipher and cut nobody out by then?
Nope. You can say whatever you want in a text, and you can say whatever you want over a phone. But when I see you in person, then we have a different conversation. And then within 3 weeks, then you start to see how they really live. Because people can live up a fucking fake. Within a month, you can see how somebody lives within that month. Like, people live a fake life.
Yes.
For weeks.
Absolutely.
2 to 3 weeks. And then you start to see how they slowly start to dim down and go back to how they really live. Or how they really act, or how their emotions really are. Because you can get off that phase of lust.
Yes.
Or you're horny. And then you can be like, okay, let me really see this person. Because I haven't fucked her. Let me see, do I really like this person? Because at first, initially, I just wanted to fuck. I'm just really horny. I just like the way she looks. I like her body.
Yes.
Now let me see how her mind is. Then you start to be like, damn, this bitch texts me all the time.
That's why I feel like
she don't ever leave me alone. Whenever I don't text back, she get angry at me. We ain't even dating.
KT, you can know by my dog.
Goddamn, I don't answer back from a text message. She want to blow up. I can't deal with that.
If that's the second week, I'm cutting it off. That's my point.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You said I know she has, but that it's potential there, and it's potential of. No, it's not potential. I just like her. I just want to have a conversation with her. I don't know if somebody's for real unless I get to at least 3 months. Like I say, 3 months, okay, cool. We could have a series. But within a month, it's wild to me.
No, it ain't. I don't think so, Kenny. It ain't nothing good to me. No.
That's wrong to say.
So what you're saying, you know,
Here's the thing, man. I think I can tell.
They paid all their bills on. They paid all their bills January 1st. They ain't got no obligations, but wait till February 1st come around and they got bills to pay. Mm.
But, I mean, what if you meet them on the 9th?
They bills already paid on January 1st. 9th, they still got money.
Yeah.
Money. I need to see them through February. When February 1st come around, when they got to pay the apartment bill, car note, all the... Oh, shit. Look, you know, the light bill a little strong over here. You know, I got to go work
on it. I'm sorry to hear that.
You can't even ask them what their credit score is. They don't want to tell you. Yeah. Red flag.
But see, this is the thing. I think y'all saying the same thing, but it's just y'all perspective is
Kenny
different
on my side. Kenny
basically,
really
what y'all, what y'all
month,
saying
I am
is,
not taking nobody serious.
But again, that's the point I'm making. Y'all both saying within a month I can tell whether to cut a motherfucker off, but within a month I can't tell whether or not we gonna go the distance. And both of those are true. Because if you do something egregious in a month, your ass is done. I don't give a damn what's on the back end of that, right? But it's some people who can coast in that month and not do nothing egregious. Now, you ain't really had the chance to cut them off, but you still not sure if this shit is going to go the distance. Because I could, you know, get it right. I need to see how you move, like, after, you know, after bills is paid and things of that nature. But in terms of, like, being able to tell, okay, yeah, nah, we going to be, you know what I'm saying? We going to be here for a long while. I would say a month is too quick to learn that as well. But to know whether or not to cut your ass off if you do something egregious. Nah. Months is plenty of time. Yep.
I done had people falsify
documents. Wait, what?
false claim for 2.5 months.
What?
Man, people do some wild shit, dog. I'm trying to tell you.
Motherfuckers
is fucking schemers,
by
man.
By false claim.
Motherfuckers are schemers, bro. I'm trying to tell you.
You care to share your experience?
They have a good job for a month and a half, then all of a sudden they lose a job.
Get another job, then lose that one too.
And all of a sudden they need this for a phone bill. And all of a sudden they need. First of all, I'm not giving you money anyway, but still, I'm still gonna conversate with you just to see if you can get back on your feet. Because we go through hard times.
Yeah, very true.
But if I would have took you serious within that month and said, "Hey, you the one for me." And next thing you know, month two, I ain't got a job no more. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. Oh, now I got to take on the burden of your bills.
No, you don't.
Because now we boyfriend and girlfriend.
Nope. Nah,
I got to step up as... Right, that's what I'm going to do as a man. If I make you my woman, I'm going to step up as a man and take care of problems that you have.
Yeah, I'm out.
The first instance that it happens.
I didn't say I was boyfriend, girlfriend first month now.
That should happen at
you said you're going to see a future with him.
I said you could potentially see yourself dating or something further, not boyfriend and girlfriend. That's something. That's making something official. I ain't saying making something official. I'm just saying, can we go beyond the 30 days? But yeah, some people, yes, you can't go beyond 30.
Well, here's a question.
But to stamp it, nah.
How long would you say it takes for you to know whether or not this shit is official? Like, we gonna be exclusive.
That's 3 months.
Oh, 3 months.
That's 3 months,
okay,
for sure.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's 3 months.
Kenny, you saying 6 months?
6 months. That is bare minimum. That's to make sure I know I got everything out my system in 6 months. You want me to cut out all my holes in 3 months?
So you got to give them
you only got
30 days notice, man.
I can have two. I can have one hole, but that's a special hole.
That's a special hole.
I'm talking about my hole. I mean my wife. That's an even worse problem. You rather have a man with 5 holes than a man with 1 hole.
Hey,
because that one hoe is a strong hoe.
That's a fact. And she been there for a while.
Been there for a while.
Yeah.
Yes. And you want me to get rid of that in 3 months?
For some shit I ain't sure about?
I ain't wiggled and dibbled in?
Well, hey, it's the reason why she only your hoe.
But she does a great job. She does a great job.
Garden work. You tell me I didn't get rid of that in 3 months? Man, come on,
some
man.
Girl is a specialist.
I need six months to know how I'm going to feel about you within 6 months, because we got to have an argument.
Well, there y'all go, ladies. If y'all ever inquiring about KT,
six months
minimum, 180 days.
Don't inquire about me, because I'm going to tell you straight up, I ain't looking for no relationship this year anyway, so don't even try.
With you?
No. Nobody. Nobody.
That nigga lied to me too, because he told me he was gonna get a relationship.
That was way back when.
He lied to me,
and he said he's gonna get a condo.
He did. He said that too.
Now that part might not be a lie. Well, see, you got niggas waiting to move into my shit.
Crew Season Productions coming soon, baby.
Straight up, nigga. Headquarters.
I'm gonna charge them a fee they don't know about.
Go shoot a movie through that motherfucker.
Oh, God.
Peg Bros, I'll be my man.
You crazy.
What's wrong with this?
Hey. Well, hold on. My kitty.
Cut it out.
You single. You single. On the cool. Porn industry. $1 billion industry. You might need to lean into that.
I can't last. It'll be a 30 second clip.
Nigga said it'll be a trailer.
It'd be an EP.
Got a reel.
Oh, shit. That'd be the easiest cameraman job in life. The editor would be like, what?
You got a Snapchat, nigga. 10 seconds, nigga.
It'd be a boomerang. The boomerang.
See a nigga busting. Oh, shit.
A boomerang. That's the title of this part.
Boomerang.
Boomerang is the title of this part. Oh, man. On that note, man.
I ain't about to lie to you. You get me on a good day or a bad day. You just better hope it's that day.
Right. It's the right day.
Prayers to all parties involved, man. On that note, we're going to get out of here, man. We appreciate y'all, man, tapping in. Patreon in the building. You understand me? First and foremost, man, Crusader Nation. We appreciate y'all, man. Everybody putting up to them tonight's conversation shows, man. Buying that merch out, man. Ooh. We took 4 suitcases with us. And it was all gone by the time we left, man. Gone. So we appreciate y'all tapping in with the movement, man. And those who are new to it, those who was day ones, we love y'all, man. Keep on supporting it. We got more merch coming, as y'all see people wearing. You understand me? Yeah. So it's coming. But, you know, just keep on rocking with us, man. And, we're going to get on up out of here. With a record called Confirmation by Young Blue, man. On that note, we gone.
Pop, 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 pop it just like this.
Oh, just like this.
Pop, 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 pop,